Let's speak with Bruce Williamson. Bruce is from the campaign group Rail Future. Evening, Bruce.
Good evening, Ian.
Good evening. £70 million, that's a lot of money.
It is an awful lot of money, and what concerns me is that that money is not now going to be spent on improving the experience of passengers. It's now going back to George Osborne.
So, it's counterproductive in a way.
Well, yeah, I can't really see that that's in the public interest, because, you know, for a publicly owned non-profit organisation like Network Rail, that doesn't really count as a punishment. It's a punishment for the passengers, really,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, indeed, because it is, as you say, it's publicly owned, so who's really being fined here? Is there another way, though, to try and get these guys on the right, to coin a phrase, on the right track? Because something's going wrong.
I think we have to have some sympathy with Network Rail. I mean, they're certainly a lot better than Railtrack were. And they're facing a sort of triple whammy at the moment of decades of underinvestment, more and more passengers every day want to use the railway, and of course we've had these extreme weather conditions down in the southwest, which don't help. But we've also had a controversy recently of the level of bonuses that the Network Rail directors get, and I think if you want to sort of punish, if that's the right word, and I'm not convinced it is, but if you want to punish Network Rail, surely then the bonuses, which are unpopular, ought to be the target.
Why would somebody not... I mean, what you've just said, it makes perfect sense. I can't imagine anybody listening to what you've just said, Bruce, and disagreeing. I would be fascinated to hear at what point they would disagree. However, somebody somewhere hasn't spotted what you've clearly spotted, and that's a reasonable way of attempting to get things in a far more efficient working order, by looking at the people responsible rather than putting a huge fine on the company, which could, of course, ultimately impact the passenger.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question you have to ask the politicians, don't you? And sadly, I'm not a politician, and I can't provide the answer for that. But, yeah, I think fines, generally, are a blunt instrument and not very effective, and it's just the way it's always been done. So the government says, OK, we'll fine them.
Lack
of imaginative thinking, I think.
Yeah, where do you... I mean, as you rightly say, I mean, the underinvestment has been just chronic, and, you know, we are sort of the poor man of Europe in rail terms, I think would be reasonable to say. Is it about to get better? And when I say about to, I'm talking about the next decade or so.
Yeah, it's definitely getting better. I mean, there is huge improvement. I mentioned, you know, obviously we're in the context of growing passenger numbers, and the fact that more and more people want to use the railway every day tells us something, doesn't it? And we also have one of the safest railways in Europe as well. We have, I think, now 7 years without a passenger being killed on a train, which is an impressive record. You know, and I think Network Rail overall, I mean, they're not perfect. Of course they're not perfect. There's so much more that can be done, and it's a very, very complex thing, Network Rail and the British railway network, so that, you know, there's no sort of magic bullet that I can think of. But I'm largely sympathetic to the efforts they're making, and improvements are happening.
Do you think the, and that debate which always rears its head at some point, nationalisation, I mean, obviously we have a nationalised infrastructure in this respect, but not everything, of course, about the railways is nationalised. Much of it is still privately owned, will remain so. Is there an argument to bring it all back under the state?
I mean, there is an argument. I think we have to recognise that we are where we are, and certainly under a Tory-led coalition, there's no prospect of it being re-nationalised. In fact, the East Coast franchise, which is currently state-owned, they want to re-privatise that. And I think it would be helpful to keep one franchise in the public sector. It's working very well. And then you can have a robust comparison of private versus public, which isn't driven by ideology. It's actually driven by evidence. And then you can make the decision that's best for the passenger.
Yeah.
Which, sadly, I think, you know, governments of either flavour aren't likely to do because they're driven by ideology.
It's interesting, isn't it, that of all, you know, even people who are staunch supporters of privatisation often select railways as one area that shouldn't be privatised.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's certainly a problem in the current structure we have is the intense complications that, you know, you've got so many contractors and so much bureaucracy between the train operating companies and Network Rail and the people who supply the trains. I mean, probably most of your listeners don't realise that the companies who operate the trains don't actually own the trains. They lease them in from somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then you've got contractors doing the signalling and so on. And so there's a lot of wastage in that bureaucracy. Although I think the companies involved, I think the train operating companies themselves, although they get a lot of stick, I think they operate a fairly tight ship.
And in terms of the, I mean, we mentioned about the bonuses that are given to directors. What would they, to your knowledge, Bruce, what did they get those bonuses for, given this huge, well, clearly, failure from the targets they were meant to reach?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I don't know. It does seem to be that this culture of bonuses is that you get bonuses whether you succeed or fail. And I think there's definitely something wrong there. They definitely need to be bonuses. Should be the exception, not the norm. If you do very well, you get a bonus. If you do averagely, then I don't see why you should get a bonus for that, because, you know, millions of other workers lower down the food chain, they don't get bonuses if they do an all right job, and the same should apply across the industry, across the country, I think.
Indeed. Listen, Bruce, we certainly appreciate your time this afternoon. Thank you. Bruce Williamson from the campaign group Rail Future.